Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord, as we go into the ministry of the word, I recognize my limitations, frailties, and infirmities. And so I ask, Lord, for fresh mercy. Lord, under the covering of my spiritual fathers, under the lordship of Jesus, have mercy on me. Give me fresh unction and grace. Lord, let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it flow in simplicity and yet with power, in clarity and in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, to encourage, to strengthen, to enlighten, and to motivate us to be doers of all that we learn and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we yield ourselves unto you, Lord. Let an internal, eternal work be wrought in all of our hearts, including my own, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds more illuminated with the revelation insight that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So Christ will increase and self will decrease, in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth under the covering of our fathers, everywhere it goes throughout the earth, let it be backed by power to break yokes, to strengthen the feeble knees, to lift up the hands that hang down, and Lord God, indeed, Lord, to set the captives free, not for price, not for reward, in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father, for mercy. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Help me to be concise and to be precise, not redeeming the time, not saying unnecessary things, so that in this time you make me scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this marvelous word things new and old. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Just as a recap, we were in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 the last time. And just very briefly, I want to do a recap. In our last lesson, we saw that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, showing us that though Paul was physically absent from where the Thessalonians were because of the persecution, he was monitored by the Spirit through deep intercession, their spiritual state. So Paul knew what they were going through because the Holy Spirit was telling him what they were going through. And this is very powerful. Recognize that, you can be under spiritual fathers, but who are not in the same physical location with you, yet they know what's going on. Amen. And then, when God said he should, then he sent Timothy over unto the brethren, to encourage and comfort them, so that they will stand strong in their faith and they will not be moved because of the persecution. And we said the last time that Timothy was chosen because he had been faithful in following the discipline of the Christ life. Brethren, we are all disciples. Amen. Disciple means that you are subject to discipline. And there's a discipline in the Christ life. It's a discipline of self-denial. A discipline of taking up your cross, praying, spending time in the Word, walking in the love of God. That's a discipline. You have to follow it. You walk in the fear of God with a heart that fears and trembles before God. It's a discipline. And Timothy faithfully followed Paul, all that Paul taught and all that Paul lived and demonstrated before him. So having done that, he became his spiritual son. And therefore, he was connected to a power grid. Now, this is an important concept to understand, that God prepares men. The Bible says, a man shall be as a hiding place. God prepares men who are channels through which the power of God is poured out into the earth. And so when Paul sent Timothy, Timothy was connected to Paul because he was a faithful son. And so the power could flow from God through Paul, through Timothy, to the Thessalonians. Amen. And that's how we're going to do this work that God has for us. Inheriting nations. That's how we're going to do it. It's by, you're not going to have the power in yourself, but because you are connected. Tell your neighbor, I'm connected. Amen. That's a good kind of connection you need to have. It's a godly connection. Amen. All right. And through that connection, power and wisdom flowed, comfort for the Thessalonians in that time. And that's what it's going to be in our own time. That power is going to flow. So we must labor in the word. Labor in prayer, labor in divine love, as we said earlier on, and then of course grow up so that we can then inherit the Spirit without measure on our own. Amen. We also saw that we were appointed unto persecution. Brethren, there's a persecution, there's an appointment that we have. Once you choose to live godly, you have an appointment, several appointments with persecution. But instead of being discouraged, you should be joyful. Amen. That's because God has a plan for it. It's a win-win. You know, God is actually allowing the persecution to hasten the work He's doing in us so that we can be ready on time. Amen. Because that's what persecution is. It simply hastens what God is doing. God doesn't allow it to come except you're ready. That's the first. Bible says God don't allow us to be tempted above what we're able to bear. Amen. Then after having done that, then God also makes sure, you know, that by the mercy and grace of God, this is a legal basis for Him to put Satan away permanently in the lake of fire. He's building a legal case through what you're going through. Amen. And then, of course, the other thing to understand is that He's going to perfect His wisdom and His compassion in our lives. Amen. Having gone through the temptation, when others are going through, you can comfort them with the comfort wherewith you have been comforted. Amen. All right. And then finally, He gives you the victory. Amen. Sweet victory. Hallelujah. So we're on the winning side, brethren. All right. Persecution is meant to work in our favor. Look at it. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Just put scripture behind this as we round this up. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Let's read together. Now, thanks be unto God, which sometimes, a few times, only when you prayed, say always, causes us to what? Triumph where? In Christ. Hallelujah. And make it manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. So instead of it working against you, it works for you. It works for the kingdom. The fragrance of Christ is dispelled, but it's like perfume. And we sanitize the whole earth with the presence of God. Amen. That's the purpose of God. So no, we cooperate with it. How do we cooperate? Have a mindset, a warrior's mindset, that I'm going to do the will of God. Now, once you've armed yourself with that mindset, we saw that last time in 1 Peter 4:1-2. Once you arm yourself with that mind, you know, God is back. He will just back that decision with the mercy and the grace of God. Amen. And you will not be able to sin. So the persecution just lifts you up higher. You just ride the wave and ride the wave and ride the wave until you get into the fullness of your destiny. Amen. So Satan's actually helping us to get into our destiny. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. Amen. That's beautiful. Only God can design that. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God, like the Bible says. All right. Now, we begin in verse 6 this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's read it together. Verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you... I can't hear you reading with me. Don't let me read alone, no, please. I'm not alone. You are on my side. Are you not on my side? We're all on God's side. All right, let's read together. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Next verse. Therefore, brethren, we were what? Comforted. That's so important. No, we can comfort oversight by the way we live, all right? Over you and in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Next verse. Verse 8. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. Next verse. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before the Lord? What shall we render to Jehovah? For you know, that's the song they sing. It's a song of joy and thanks. Deep thanksgiving and joy. Next verse. Night and day, praying what? Exceedingly, that we might see your face and that might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Next verse. Now, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us to unravel this morning. In verse 6, going back to verse 6, we see that Timothy returned to give Apostle Paul feedback. And feedback is critical. It's extremely important. It's a principle in the kingdom. Now, even if your boss is not a Christian, even if your parents, you have to give feedback. When you go to school, they give you a report card. The report card is what? Feedback to your parents as to what you have spent the 3 months or so in school doing. Feedback. Alright, so it's important to give feedback to those in authority over us. And God will help us to grow in this in Jesus' name. Because feedback demonstrates dependence. and lack of it demonstrates independence. And God will help us to be dependent in Jesus' name. God, there's no Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger is dead and gone. It's not riding again. You know, the people down is a company of sons connected to spiritual fathers. They are fully submitted to spiritual fathers. And one of the signs of that is feedback. Okay? Now, so he was going to give the... Let's have verse 6. No, so he brought back word. What kind of tidings did he bring back? Good tidings of their faith and charity. So, really, the Thessalonians passed their exam. Amen? And you're going to pass yours in Jesus' name. They passed the exam. Even though they were going through much, he was giving examples of their faith, of their love. You know, so the brethren were really encouraged. How do we pass the exam of persecution and affliction? By continuing to believe, continuing to speak the word of God, continuing to believe, and continuing to practice divine love. You must continue in the faith, continue in the word, continue in love, continue in prayer, and so you continue in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Once we see the fruit, then we know that truly the labor was not in vain. The persecution, you know, was not what it was. What was supposed to bring forth is the love of God. It's supposed to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So also that as to hasten the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 in verse 6. Galatians 5, give it to me in the Amplified, please. For if we are in Christ Jesus, how many of us are in Christ Jesus? Okay, hands down. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only what? Faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. So love is what we want. And brethren were walking in love, faith and charity, walking in love. So Timothy could mention instances where their love was working, working toward their brethren, working toward those in authority, working towards those under them. You must love people, brethren. The Bible talks about the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of God. You must walk in the love of God. It's a compulsory cause. In fact, it is what God is going to assess. You know, so he's already given us the mark scheme. So why do you want to do something else? Just follow the maxim and bring forth the fruit of the love of God. Amen. That's what the brethren were doing. You know, and that divine love was also directed towards oversight. Because you can see there, let's go back to verse 6. Verse Thessalonians, thank you. Verse 6. You see that love activates, energizes, you know, and you know, love strengthens faith. So that faith can work more. Amen? All right. And you see that they had good remembrance of those in authority. Always desiring greatly to see them. That love is extremely important. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 7. It says they remembered them, desiring greatly to see them. Yes. What does it say? It says, remember them. Remember them. Which have the rule over you, who have what? Spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Amen. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, after verse 8. All right, now give this to me in the Message Bible. Briefly. Thank you. Now let's read it together. Appreciate, as we mean by remember, appreciate your pastoral leaders who gave you the word of God. Take a good look at the way they live. A really good look. And let their faithfulness do what? Instruct you. As well as their truthfulness. Amen. This should be a consistency that runs through us all. The brand is Christ. Amen. That is the brand. And it runs through Christ himself, leadership, and the flock. Amen. It's a stamp. You know, so like I said, this one is God's. So when a company produces something, they have a stamp. They have a number. And once they put a stamp on it, it means that it's authentic, ready to be consumed. Amen. The same thing, when God is preparing sons, because God and sons, the brand is Christ. Nothing short of it. That's the brand. And so, you know, when they were following, as they were following and they saw that their lives were changing, their desires were changing, they could see humility in their lives. they could begin to see the outworking of promises being fulfilled in their own lives. They could see love, patience, forbearance in their own lives. Things that they couldn't stand before, they were overcoming them. So even though they were under pressure externally, internally, because by revelation they were seeing fruits of spiritual growth, they longed to see oversight. They loved oversight. You see, and that's the way it should be, brethren. When we are walking and following closely as we ought to, then you know we desire to see oversight. We love them. We desire to be of service to them. We check up on them and things like that. It just flows naturally out of our heart of genuine followership. Amen. That's the will of God, Father. You can see an example of this, you know, in Luke chapter 10, verse 17 and 20. Luke chapter 10. The disciples and Jesus. And the 70 returned again with what? Joy. They were glad. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. It's exactly what you said that happened to us. The demons fled. You know, so they were happy. And that's the same way it should be. In their own case, they were casting out demons. In our own case, we're casting out devils and doing cures. Amen. So you're changing. You're becoming more like Jesus. You are seeing Jesus on the inside, walking on the outside. Oh, what a change. Amen. And it makes us glad. Look at verse 20. Jesus now told them, and this is what you should be glad in. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, this is the key. The key is that you are going to your spiritual growth, you know, and who you are in the spirit, you know, that is what should give you the greatest joy, not your physical blessings. Now, thank God for the physical blessings, but they must come with spiritual growth. If you have to choose one or the other, choose like Zacchaeus. Give away the blessing and get the growth. Amen. Amen. Give away the blessing, get the growth. And when you get the growth, you'll get the blessing back. Because strong men retain, attract riches. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay. All right. Now let's go on to verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Verse 8. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me here this morning. You know, children, as spiritual children, and as children, a lot of us have our parents around, you know, one or both, you know, parents around. So really, this message this morning is to us. That children have a very powerful influence over their parents. And we must exercise this influence positively. Amen. It's very important. Okay, we can bring comfort and joy to our natural and our spiritual parents. Or we can bring them grief. We'll bring them joy in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. In fact, God expects us to live to bring Him. Because God is the original parent. He is the father of the God of the families of the earth. Okay? So he's the father. Yes, I think it says somehow. The father of the... Say that again. Yes, the father of all spirits. And he's the God of the families of the earth. So God is the original father. He understands fatherhood. So parenthood. God understands. It's an institution. You know, and it's very important that we... allow, you know, our lives to be a source of comfort, joy, and encouragement to our spiritual parents. Amen. No, and so it's very important, and particularly spiritual parents, because you know sometimes you may do some things against natural parents because they may not have spiritual insight into what you're doing. But you should always be on the good side of spiritual parents. Amen. Because they have wisdom, both natural wisdom and divine wisdom on top. And so you really don't have any excuse to go against them except really God shows you in the word. All right? Look at 3 John chapter 4. Amplified Bible. 3 John. Not chapter. Verse. It's just one chapter. Now let's read it together. We will be children of joy in Jesus' name.
Says, I have no greater joy.
This is the cue for true godly oversight. I have no greater joy than this. He's stating the greatest joy. It's not the cathedral. It's not the private jet. It's not the number of cars. Those things are good in their place. This is the greatest joy. That to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives where? In the truth. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Nothing could make me what? Happier than getting reports that my children continue what? Diligently in the way of truth. Amen. So brethren, we need to be walking in the way of truth. Amen. No, in Proverbs 17:21 gives us the opposite. You know, telling us that a child, you know, that does not walk, that brings shame. Proverbs 17. Having a fool. No, yes, okay. He that begetteth a fool dwelleth into his own sorrow. And the father of a fool hath no... We will not be fools in Jesus' name. We are wise sons and daughters in Jesus' name. All right? And that's... So we should walk like that. I'm saying an example in Philemon. Just two quick examples. Look at Philemon in verse 17. Paul was Philemon's spiritual father. And Paul was talking to Philemon. It's instructive. It says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him, that's Onesimus, as myself. Next verse. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee aught, put that on my account. Next verse. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. That's maybe he stole money. I think he stole money. I believe he stole money. So I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how much thou owest me. He's just telling him that I will pay it, but you yourself know that, you know, if you are talking about money, you owe me more. So just forget it. I'm just using it as a parable for you. Just quickly understand. I borrow. Lance of Monluabi. I'm just giving you a note that the proverb that says that all you need to tell a child is A, and child knows that the A is answer. Just one syllable or one consonant and the child makes up the rest of the word. So he's telling him, no, just let it go. Next verse. Yea, brother, let me have what? Let me have what? Joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. It is refreshing to spiritual parents when their children are obedient and they're growing spiritually. Spiritual growth is what gives them primary refreshing. Now, of course, no, as you get married, as you have children, as you prosper, I know that also makes them happy. Do you understand? But not one for the other. Both. With the spiritual leading. With the spiritual one leading. This is what God is saying. Amen. And look at Esau. We will not be Esau's in Jesus' name. Genesis chapter 26, 34 and 35. And Esau was how many years old? 40 years when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. Next verse. Which were what? Which were what? A grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah. The one they said he should not marry. That is the one that he went. Brethren, be careful who you marry. Don't marry against parental disapproval. Yeah, he married two, and the two were from the daughters of the East Country. Egun, he took it to himself. Bible says they were a grief of mind. So you can see there that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, but it's important to understand that. Now there are important reasons for this. Very important reasons for this. Okay, and the first one is that, you know, your destiny depends on this. You know, bringing your parents joy is actually for your own good. The Bible says, you know, in Hebrews 13:17. Let's look at it, but amplified. Quickly, thank you. Amplify, thank you. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you, for they are constantly what? Keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare. As men or women who will have to render an account of their trust. Do your part to let them do this with what? Gladness, not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. So even, you should bring them joy. But, you know, because you want to bring them joy. But you should bring them joy because apart from bringing them joy, you are bringing yourself joy. All right? It's profitable for you. That's what he's trying to tell us. It's profitable for us. You know, so that we can understand. So, and this is because, you know, the example that they've set and the instructions that they give is meant to prepare our hearts. So that when God, the original parent, comes on the scene, you'll be ready. It's very important. The way you relate to your spiritual, your natural parents and spiritual authority is indicative of the way you relate to God. I know you will say that when God comes, you will really love him. You will really, you know, there's only your man that says, when God comes, I will submit. I say, be his God. But even if God comes with love, his power and glory, you will say, are we sure he's real? That's what we're going to do because of the satanic nature that's inside. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 17. There's a mystery in the air. There's a force in the air. And we must understand as spiritual children that we must not allow that force to rob us of our destiny. Look at Luke chapter 1. Say, he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to do what? To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Look at this in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Quickly. Same scripture, but put differently. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. Next verse. And he shall what? Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Same thing. But this time it's different. And the hearts of the children where? To their, so the children are the disobedient. That is turning their hearts back to the wisdom of the just. There is a place where natural parents turn your heart. They turn your heart to some level of wisdom. And then spiritual parents take over from that foundation. And then turn your heart onto godliness. Alright? And without them, says, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. And Satan knows the scripture. So you know what Satan does? He tries to bring in disobedience. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's working in the air through wicked spirits. Verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 3. No, give it to me from verse 1. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Next verse. And you know we're in the last days. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What? Deliberately put it there. Put it there. Unthankful, unholy, and the list goes on. So there is a force in the air that is making sure that spiritual children are disobedient. Natural children are disobedient. It's a force. And it's working on the infirmities of the flesh. And that's why we have to now submit to the instructions that we receive from our parents. We act on those instructions, and those instructions prepare our hearts. We see an example of this in Samuel. Samuel didn't have the best leadership, but he acted on it, and then when God came, he was prepared. When God came, he said, you are calling me. Said, no, I'm not calling you, it's God calling you. Amen. But it was his response. He responded to God. It was to God, but it was to Eli. But it was to God through Eli. So, brethren, our attitude and our response is unto those in is unto God through those in authority over us. Whether it's a house master, whether it's a teacher, whether it's your parent or an uncle or the gateman or a cleaner, God is watching your attitude. As a God is watching your attitude. If the Bible says you bow to the hoary head, if they're older than you, give them that respect. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. That's very quickly. Your physical survival and spiritual progress depends on this thing. If you are not under authority of people providing for you physically, providing for you spiritually, you're not going to make it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Children! How many children are here? You have parents at one level or the other, spiritual or physical. All right? We're all children at one level or another. Say, children, obey your parents where? For this is right. Next verse. It's God that said it's right. It says, honor. That's the attitude now. Your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Next verse. So if you don't do that commandment, you're going to miss the promise. That's the implication. You know, that it may be what? Well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So long life and fulfillment of destiny is linked to your attitude and your actions to those in authority over you. Both natural parents and spiritual parents. Can't overemphasize that. Alright? So, and this is the key. Now, what is the end of that thing? The end is to become a God on the earth. That is the end. Look at Psalm 82 verse 6. God wants to make gods out of us. Amen? You are a God. Ah, you didn't answer. You didn't answer like a God. Ah, your God needs to shake our minds this morning. I said, you are a God. You are meant to dominate by the power of godliness. Dominate thoughts. Dominate circumstances. By the power of the Holy Spirit working through your heart. Amen. He said, I have said, and the scripture cannot be broken. Ye are, and all of you are what? You are made in the form of the Most High. I mean, you're not made in the form of God, but you know, when you are begotten as a son, you step out of being a man, an ordinary man, and become a God man. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. You know, so and what the devil does is that he makes us walk in disobedience. Look at Second Timothy we're talking about further down in verse 5. He says, you know, who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. So the key is to rob us of the power by which we would have reigned as gods. That's where disobedience is going. So it's not about the issue at hand. It's not about the rightness or the wrongness of the issue at hand. It's about your destiny. It's about it being well with you. It's about you living long and not stepping out away from under covering. These are the issues at stake. And you must understand them very, very clearly. Amen. Then finally, of course, the reason is that we bring our parents refreshing. Because, you know, they endure so much self-denial and satanic affliction because they've chosen to lead us. You know, when you choose to lead, there is an attack that comes against you. Other people don't like to lead. Everybody likes to say somebody else should do it. Someone else is better positioned to do it. nobody wants to do it. But when people stand forward and say, let me lead, immediately you make yourself a target. Amen. But you know, God's going to protect them, and He is protecting them. Amen. But the key here is that the appreciation when they see that their labor is bringing forth fruit in our lives. It makes it all worth it. It makes it like, oh, it's not in vain. You know, that's what Paul says. Let the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Their labor over us will not be in vain in Jesus' name. But what he's saying is very important that they see. We must let them, our parents, know that we appreciate them in a very clear and practical way so they will not be weary. Remember Moses? When they were fighting against them, the Amalekites. You know, Moses' hand was up. As long as Moses' hand was up, what was happening downstairs? Israel was prevailing over their enemy. And Aaron and Ur were steadying his hand. Once Moses' hand drops like this, so brethren, if anything happens to them, our prayer, your prayer, my own, God will have mercy in Jesus' name. So, nothing will happen to them. Nothing's going to happen to them. Amen. So we make sure it is your interest, make sure it's well with them. Don't just make sure that they have peace, they have joy, they can concentrate without distraction. Amen. Pray for them. Pray for their seed. Amen. Want goodness for them. So that when the goodness comes to them, it's coming down to you. Your number is somewhere there. Amen. And this is the will of God. So the important thing here is that our dedication and obedience means very much to godly oversight. You know, it may not matter to those who just want to fleece and get something out of you, money and all that, but it matters to those that really care about your soul. Amen. Look at verse 9 and 10. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. All right. Give me verse 9 and 10. I've left this. I've moved on. Thank you. Thank you. I'm gone. All right.
But what thanks can we render to God again? For you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. It's telling you the extent of joy. It's not just small joy. You know, you read it in one verse. But it's like a fountain. It's a spring of joy that is welling up. And no, Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. So it's a spiritual force. Thank you, sir. And that force gives them the strength to go on, and they take the next mountain, and then they take the next mountain, and then they take them until we get to the promised land. And we have already crossed into the promised land. We now occupy. That's the will of God. No, we're not making no like children of them. They wearied Moses. So the fruit of godly lives is the primary seal of divine approval. Bible says we are a written epistle, known and read of all men. That is the seal of their apostleship. That is the seal of the fact that they truly were called of God into ministry. The fact that they are godly children that are walking after them. That's the seal, primary seal. Of course, there are other seals, signs and wonders. Of course, the spirit without measure, no, incredible photograph. All that is there. Amen. All right. No, but the primary seal is that you're godly. You're like God. And then when you now inherit the spirit without measure, you then begin to do greater works. That also is another seal that truly they are called of God. So the key, brethren, is that you know, bringing forth fruits, you know, is not just something you do for God alone. Oversight and looking for, waiting for the precious fruits of the earth. Amen. From our lives. Amen. And also this is true for parents. Parents are looking for fruit in the lives of their children. And because really, if you look at it, the essence of marriage, one of the core essence of marriage, apart from eating of tree of life, is to bring forth godly seed. Malachi 2:15. It's to bring forth godly seed. It's not just to marry and live and you know, do all the things that married people do and travel and have children and buy this and buy that. All that has its place. But the key here is that it's about godly seed. And the godly seed provokes joyful thanksgiving. Because you know what it means is that God has accepted their labor. Now, when Abel offered a sacrifice and Cain offered a sacrifice, God had respect, the Bible says, unto Abel's sacrifice. So when you labor in your children and you pour out yourself into your children, you spend money for your children, you send them to the best schools, and they come out both godly and successful, you kneel down and thank God. It means that God has accepted your sacrifice. That I have been able to perpetuate godliness in my life. And that's going to be our joy in Jesus' name. But that also means that as parents, we have a responsibility to be firm with your children. Don't spare them. Don't spare them. That godliness is not an optional course. It's a compulsory course. It is the main course. And let them know, like I used to see Mom Sarah tell her daughters, and today I can see what God is doing, that if you have all these other things, I don't care. What I care about is this one. So the children get a clear, unmistakable message. And of course, they must be able to read this in our lives. That's also very important. We must be practicing what we're preaching. Amen. So they can read the same message, the consistent message, you know, in our lives. All right. So, of course, godly seed means now that our own children are connected to the vine by themselves. Amen. They are now drinking from the vine. John 15, verse 4. No, they are connected to the vine and they're bringing forth fruit. Because no, they can't do it by themselves. It has to be God helping them to do it. So that means that they themselves have a relationship with God. They themselves are now beginning to grow. And that really spurs them on. It's like when you see your child get a B in a subject and he says, I don't know this subject, and he's getting a B. You don't know it, and you're getting B. So when you want to know it, what will you get? And A star is small. A half. You will get, I beg, you know that, you know what, I will get you lesson. You don't know it, Abby. I will get you lesson, teacher. I will help you. You will do exercise. I will teach you myself. This one, you will get a star. That's what happens. That's what you see. Look at verse 10. First Thessalonians. That's what he said.
verse 10. Thank you. So it says night and day. Look at, give us the previous verse, verse 9. So you can understand the context. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. The next verse. Night and day pray. Why won't you pray exceedingly? He has seen the blade. He has seen the air. The remaining is full corn. I will pray. There is strength to pray. Strength to go the extra mile. To make sure that we can see the will of God done. We can perfect what's lacking in your faith and see you face to face. That means two things. It means also, you know, seeing them, you know, physically, being able to go and visit them physically. It also means a level of maturity spiritually, where you're not seeing through a glass darkly, but you're seeing them face to face. Your children walk in the same revelation that you're walking in. They have the same level of revelation. They have the same level of understanding. Amen? Have the same level of commitment. In fact, they will have more. Because the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater, but they must come from the back. Catch up with us. And then we look at their tail lights. Amen. That's good. And that is going to happen. It's going to happen. But we must make sure we don't let them. You're not running. This one you're doing, you're walking. Ah, daddy, I'm running. You are not running. When you're running, you'll be ahead of me. Run. We'll be looking at their tail lights. Carrying the glory, raising the dead, creating new things, walking in humility and in honor. That is their destiny. We must refuse to settle for less. And no matter what they have in the world, let them know, son, you have this, you have that. You're just like every other man. The Bible says, I said, yeah, gods. They will not die like princes. So we reject that verse 7 for our children in Jesus' name. Psalm 82 verse 7. They will not die like mere men in Jesus' name. In fact, they will not die. We are going to be caught up. Amen. No, to the throne of God. We are not going to see death. We and our seed are in the man child. No option. Not the woman, not the remnant of our seed. That one is not debatable. Oh, we are counted worthy to escape. That's the will of God for us. Amen. And that's what God is doing. So brethren, you know, this is what God is talking about. You know, to walk in divine love. And if you look at in verse 11 as we round up, the awareness that God is working in the lives of our spiritual children, you know, reduces emotional pressure on spiritual authority. You know, when children are, you know, they're walking in the light of the truth, you know, it encourages us and it says the Lord direct our wills. I think we'll stop here. We'll pick it up next week. No, just want to say this. Lord, it's God that directs our way. The Bible says a man, you know, disposes his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. It's God that should direct. We should be led by the Spirit to be directed in the line of the will of God and not allow emotion or pressure, you know, of one child to be saying us up and down from pillar to post. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Talk to God. As parents, we have to take our place. Have revelation and understanding and a picture of who your children should be. Receive it from the Lord and encourage them every step along the way. And as a spiritual child, bring comfort and joy and refreshing to your spiritual fathers. Walk in obedience to instruction, so that by wisdom your house will be built, and by understanding it to be established, and by knowledge, revelation knowledge, epignosis, all the chambers will be filled with precious and pleasant riches. This is the will of God. A generation of God men. It's a great privilege. This treasure in earthen vessels. But the excellency of the power is of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Next verse.
When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
His oath, His covenant is blood.
His oath, His covenant, His blood. Support me in the well.
When all around our soul,
when all around our souls give way, He then is all my hope and stay.
Oh,
on Christ the solid rock we stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand.
Let's raise up our hand in faith. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word that You've sent to me to show me that it is important and critical for me to walk in the truth so that my life will be a source of joy, encouragement, inspiration, comfort unto my spiritual parents, and that it is Your will for me to fulfill the end of my faith, even to become a God upon the earth, carrying the spirit without measure and the character of Christ throughout the entire earth. Father, I ask for mercy, not to be faithful, that I will not stop, I will not give up until I see the fulfillment of Your will in my life, for myself and for my seed and my household, that we will inherit the fullness of Your promise according to Your word, Your oath, Your promise, and the example of Jesus going beyond the veil. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.